For tonight, and I am excited about this message. So put your seatbelt on. Actually, take your seatbelt off and stand with me when we read this passage, and then you can sit down and put your seatbelt on after that. Proverbs chapter 4. Typically, we'll be in Deuteronomy, but there is an actual very specific reason why we're not in Deuteronomy tonight, because I wrote the whole sermon and I'm preaching at camp this week on the Hillside service, and I know 100% sure that the message I was supposed to preach tonight, I'm preaching it at camp. So I'll do that, and then when we get home, the Sunday night when we get back from camp, I'll preach it again. If it goes good, I can. If it goes bad, we forget it. We'll do something else. Just kidding. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 23, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Oh, fantastic. Let's read this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Isn't that a good verse? Yeah, it's a good challenge. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So, we started in verse 23. I want you to read that verse with me, and then we'll pray and get into the message. Ready? Verse 23, begin. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what God cares about tonight? He cares about your heart. He cares about your heart. You might feel tonight like you're not doing a lot of things you should do. And that's probably true for all of us. But do you know what God cares about more than all of that? Your heart. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about this. Heart check. God gave us a heart check. So we're going to do a heart check tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Help us to understand, to receive, to change, to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So when I was a youth pastor, and we took our kids to junior camp in Missouri, in South Missouri, and it was like the boiling pot of, you know, humidity and heat. And when we first started going to this camp, for church camp, there was no air conditioning. So it was like 100 degrees, 100% humidity, and no AC. So it was just like miserable as far as the conditions were concerned. But I'll never forget going to junior camp and hearing Brother Joe Decker Sr. preach and doing a fantastic job with the kids. But every time he got to the pulpit, he would always say this, attitude check. And after he said that, he had trained the kids to say or respond by saying, praise the Lord. So he would say, attitude check, and everybody was supposed to say, praise the Lord. Okay, so let's try that. Attitude check. Okay, so he would go, and then what he would do that before the message, but he would walk around campus, and he would say to the kids, he would say, attitude check, and they would say, praise the Lord, you know. And so it was just a fun thing that went on during the, during our time at camp. Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about our sermon tonight, which is going to be heart check, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I was thinking about attitude check, and Mila was in the office, and Brother Chad was there, and so I was thinking about all this, and Mila had an episode. And so I tried it out on Mila. I said, Mila, I'm going to say attitude check, and you say praise the Lord, okay? And I said, attitude check, and she said, praise the... No. That's what she said. Praise the... No. So I might think it does work, right? If your attitude isn't good, you have a hard time saying praise the Lord. I had no idea how well it worked. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about doing a heart check. God said in our passage, keep thy heart with all diligence. So God says this is a very important part of your life. You need to keep your heart. You need to keep track of your heart. You need to guard your heart. You need to put your heart in a position to be protected and guarded and kept strong. And God desires that for us. But with that, He also gave us the tools to be able to check our heart out. If we have a heart that is where it needs to be. And so He gave us a heart check. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to, with this passage, I want to not only give us a heart check, I want us to, when I say at the appropriate time, when I say heart check, and you'll know when that happens, I want you to say praise the Lord, but only if your heart's where it needs to be in that area. Okay? Heart check, praise the Lord if it's where it needs to be in that area. Are we ready to try it out? Now it's just generally speaking, and I think it's a kind of exciting night. It's a sweet spirit tonight. So our hearts are maybe not convicted just yet. So I'm going to say heart check. You say praise the Lord. Ready? Heart check.
Praise the Lord.
I hope it's that loud when we get going in this. Amen. God has a heart check. So the threefold test of our heart, the condition of our heart, is three different levels, three different parts, and we're going to look at all three. So I'm looking forward to that. So take a look at our first one, which is verse 24. The Bible says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." So number one in your heart check is your words. Is your words. So if you want to check your heart, God says here, well, what? How are your words? How are your words? The Bible says a froward mouth. It doesn't mean one of these. My brother, when he was in, when we were in high school, that guy, I'm telling you, and he still has, he didn't get the branch of the genetics that, you know, lose all that hair. One of the kids this morning, it was Dirks or somebody, may have been Anson, he was bragging about having a mohawk or something, and Miss Stacy was like, "You don't have a mohawk?" And then I said, "Maybe I should get a mohawk." He was like, "Yes, you should." And then I teased, there wouldn't be much there. I mean, all of the important hair to actually go with a mohawk, I am mostly missing. So, I mean, we'd shave the sides and it would all be gone. We'd have a little, just a patch right there. So we're not going with that. So froward, I think I'm digressing here, but you understand, we're not talking about your hairdo. Froward has to do with perverseness, crookedness, being twisted or warped, not normal, disobedient, distorted. All of those words are defining words for this word froward. Now, in Matthew 15, Jesus said this. Don't turn there. Here's what he said. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." So you can tell the condition of your heart by the things that come out of your mouth. That's what Jesus said. He goes on, he says, "They defile the man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy." These are the things that proceed out of the heart that define or defile the heart or show that our heart isn't where it should be. Now, a froward mouth. So this would be like lying lips, right? Lips that do not speak truthfulness. A froward mouth would be deceitful tongue. How about a cursing mouth? I mean, we normally would recognize a froward mouth and connect that to cursing or bad language words. We would say it that way. And so that would be using God's name in vain, perversity, cursing coming from your mouth. Let's not forget that a froward mouth isn't just saying curse words. It's backbiting too, like gossiping. You have a froward mouth if you're gossiping. "Did you hear about so-and-so? You know, we just want to spread the news about things." And that's a froward mouth. That's not talking like we should, or slandering. A proud mouth is a froward mouth, boasting itself, despising others, and often despising authorities in our life. I mentioned about being saved. I was 13 years old. God changed my life. He changed me. And I can tell you that the one thing that I can say that totally changed instantaneously after I got saved, and nobody needed to tell me, is my language. The words that I said, or the words that I felt comfortable saying. Before I was saved, I was no longer comfortable saying them after I was saved. And by the way, I can tell you this for sure too, that not only did I not want to say bad words anymore, I wouldn't let my brother say bad words who wasn't saved yet. And it bothered me that he was cursing, you know, and we're talking about not with our parents, but when we're with our buddies, you know, our school friends. And then I didn't want to be around people who cursed and talked like that. I just wanted to avoid that at all. I just didn't want to be around it. So when God saved me, I remember He, you know, changing my life in the area of my language. But here's what God's saying in our passage. As we do a heart check tonight, what you'll find is that the things that you say are an indicator of the condition of your heart. So you can know by what you're comfortable with, or by how you talk, or if you speak, deception, or if you say the cursing words, or if you are gossiping, or if you're just being inappropriate with your language, or if you're okay with that. I mean, what God then is telling us is there's a problem in our heart. The condition of our mouth tells the condition of our heart. So tonight, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say heart check, but not yet. But I'm going to point to my mouth. And if you're doing good, then I want you to say praise the Lord. Ready? Heart check!
Praise the Lord!
All right. Wasn't as loud as it was earlier, but heart check. Praise the Lord. Your mouth. Your words. Number two. Your eyes. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So it matters where you direct the attention of your eyes, boys. It matters what you look at. It matters, girls, what you look at. What you give your attention to. What you look at and then you look at. You see, God is interested in that. He's concerned about it. Why? Not just because of what we look at, but because what it says about our heart. Yeah. Looking at inappropriate images on the internet, for example, like pornography or Facebook, is bad sometimes. And sometimes it can't be avoided, right? So you're just, I don't know what that scrolling, that never-ending scrolling concept is, but almost every social platform has it now. So that you can just literally sit there for hours and not even realize you have been sitting there for hours, because the scrolling never stops. You just scroll one novelty, to the next interest, to the next thing, and then you're just looking at funny things. And maybe you're looking for funny things, which is totally fine, and I love that. And I love laughing at funny things. In fact, when my wife laughs at something, I'm like, what are you laughing at? And we all do that, right? We want to see what's funny. But sometimes you scroll, and you have to scroll fast because there's an image there. We have to be mindful of that. That there's danger there. I remember when we visited San Diego, this would have been a long time ago, when Pastor Hetzer was starting the church in San Diego County. San Marcos was the city he was in. And this was a long time ago, before he was in Idaho and certainly before in Sri Lanka. I was still youth director. And so we took a trip and we took our vacation and we went to San Diego. And it was tremendous. We went to the beach. He's like, okay, so we're going to go to a beach. We've got a good spot. But the problem is you have to walk on the beach where all these people are out there swimming and doing their thing before we could get to the section where there's not any people and we can have our time. And so while you're walking, here's what David said to me. He says, listen, just look at your feet. Just look at your feet. I'm telling the boys are tiny. They don't care about any of that. But I'm just like, okay. And here's the thing is I'm hardly looking up so much that I'm feeling like I'm about to run into people or run into stuff. You know, I am just bulldozing ahead, looking straight down at my feet. You should have saw us walking through, you know, I'm sure it was a sight to see. That was a good lesson for me, because as the boys began to grow, we'll go to the mall. And you can't help it. Sometimes you're walking, if you're walking in the mall or in, marketing places like that, they'll have these big posters in the glass, and they're just not appropriate. You know, they shouldn't feel appropriate to us. They shouldn't. And I'll tell the boys, just look at the ground. Look at your feet. Then just walk forward. Don't look up, just straight on the ground. You know, and they're like, oh, you know, so like, and they start to look up. No, don't look up. Keep walking. Look at the ground, you know. And so we got, you know, we understand. I mean, look at the designs on the ground. Look at all that trash. And we're just looking at the ground. You know, and that's how we do that. We're just looking at the ground. Why should we do that? Brother Hetzer told me that he had an assistant. While we were there, actually, he had an assistant that had left. And he took him to the beach like he took us. But he's telling him, this was before he said, just look at the grass. Or not the grass, the sand. Just look at the sand. But this guy was, I mean, he was taking it in. The beach, he was really looking around. And it concerned Brother Hetzer. It concerned him greatly, of course. And it wasn't very much longer, and he was gone from the church, out of the ministry, pursuing the lust that his heart was craving, the lust of his heart, you know. So there is danger there, isn't there? Yeah, of course there is. And us, anybody who desires to have a heart for God, you understand that danger. Can I tell you this evening, almost said morning, this evening, that this is a concern about that you should be mindful of in going to the public pool. And it's a true thing. I'm not preaching one way or the other about that, but I want you to be mindful of it. That this is a danger. That when you go to the public pool, you're going to see things that you shouldn't see. And, you know, and there's danger there because, why? Here's why. Because in an effort to teach our children, and we don't want to kill the kids, but our children to guard their heart. And then we'd go to the public pool and we'd just be the whole time, just look at the ground. Just look at the ground. Just watch the, you know, look at the water, look at the ground, you know. And so we just need to be mindful that there's a danger there. Why? Because those images can stimulate and attract and cause some things to happen in our heart that will pull us away from the Lord. We just need to be mindful of that. And there's a danger there. It's the exact same reason why we would look at the sand when we're walking on the beach. It's the exact same thing. And so he says our eyes, what we look at, and what we watch, could be TV, couldn't it? And our eyes are attracted to the things on TV. And sometimes the things that we're watching on TV, and it's not just about romance and not just about looking at image as it relates to that. It could be anything that gets our attention and pulls us away from the things that really matter. Think about it like this. Wandering, remember I told you about the man who was just looking around and soon he was out of church, out of the ministry, and hanging out, I guess, at the beach a lot. We could say it that way. Just pursuing the lust of his heart, which is a sad story, friends. Wandering eyes indicates a wandering what? That's right. That's what it indicates. Wandering eyes indicates a wandering heart. That is the heart check here. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to point to something and I'm going to say heart check, and you're going to say praise the Lord if you're doing this. Okay? Ready? Heart check.
Praise the Lord.
Heart check.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, heart check on the last one, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So your feet is the last thing that really shows the condition of your heart. It's your feet. It's where your feet take you. You know, the girls I need to do this, okay? I really do. I need to bring a change of shoes. Because it seems like every Sunday the kids are like, Pastor, come play basketball with me. Actually, I played basketball with the boys yesterday and I hurt every time. But anyway, God knows. I need to bring a change of shoes, get out there and play some basketball. But I care about these shoes and the rocks hurt my feet. And so, we're not talking about your shoes, your feet. And some of these boys, you don't want them to take their shoes off. And some of these girls, but we won't go there. Not you girls. God's not talking about your shoes. He's not talking about if your socks crawl across the floor. You know, there's something science project going on there. I told you about the kid that I invited over for a youth over, right? And he took his shoes off. I'm like, I'm out of here. I can't even breathe in here. How are you guys even in this room? Had to throw couch pillows away after that episode. Anyway, we're not talking about your socks. We're not talking about your shoes. We're talking about where your feet take you, where your feet are taking you. You know, it was an interesting story. There were some explorers in the north who were looking to, chart maps in the north, in the far north, in the Arctic. And so they were using the stars to navigate. And so they decide, okay, we're gonna stop here. We're gonna start here. We're gonna start our bearings here. They got their stars and they charted and everything. And then they started on their day-long journey, got all the way to an exhausting day. Got to the end of the day, went a long ways, charted with the stars again, and found that they were further backwards than when they started because they were on a drifting ice that was moving south faster than they were walking north. Drifting ice. That's how it is in our life sometimes, right? So we feel like we're walking and walking and walking, but because we're not letting sometimes God navigate our path, we're walking forward but actually going backwards. We don't want that. Where our feet take us matters. I remember in junior high, guys, hopefully you guys don't need to deal with stuff like this, but in the world we live, it's a common thing. So hanging out with a friend and went into a house where other friends were, or at least acquaintances who I wouldn't consider good friends of mine, but just kids in my class, we went in there and I saw these kids and they were doing drugs. One kid was smoking weed and it was just right there out in the open in this house. And he offered it to me and I'm like, no way. And I was out of there and I never went back. So where your feet take you, where your feet take you. There was a time when I was in high school. This would have been in high school. And I put in air conditioning, heating and air conditioning. And through the summer, we were busy all summer. And we would leave the house at 6 and we wouldn't get back until 10 o'clock that night. So, and that was almost every day throughout the whole summer. It was constantly doing work like that all day and traveling here, traveling there, all over the state of Oklahoma, putting units in. And we would have I worked for my stepdad. And so being an employee, what do they call that? Child labor? Anyway, no, he did give me paychecks, but it was a good experience. But he would sometimes hire guys, and there was a guy on his first day, I let him drive, mistake, but he was the driver on that day, and it was his first day, and he was just bragging about how he knew the roads and how to get everywhere, which is fine. He actually did well throughout the day. Got to the end of the day, and it was late, and we stopped at a gas station, get some snacks before we headed back to the house. He bought a beer, and he put it in a sack. I was thinking, this isn't happening. Like, is this really happening? So he gets this thing, and it's one of the big ones, and it's in a paper sack, so it's almost like you're watching it on TV, And he's drinking that thing, and he's weaving in and out of traffic while he's got this beer in his hand. And I'm like, whoosh, I'm seatbelt, I'm like, dear God, I confess all of my sins. And I was just like, I'll do anything, Lord, just get me out of here, And I got right with God at least 3 times on that trip. And I told the Lord, I'll never ride with this guy again, ever. And he actually lost his job because of that. Rightfully so. And I remember thinking, man, where do you have to get where your feet take you there? I don't want my feet to take me there. I remember in high school also, I was invited to a rock and roll concert. And, I knew the Lord was working in my heart, but I was still battling with surrendering some things to Him. And my music was a big deal. That was one of the hardest things for me to turn over to the Lord, because I knew the music that I liked and the music I listened to was something that had a hold of my heart in a way that other things weren't as big a deal to me. So it was harder for me. I was invited to this concert, and I remember going to it as a Christian school kid who's going to be a pastor someday, and just going to this. It was free. I was invited. I was taking somebody else's slot, so I got to go to this. And here's what I was thinking the whole time. I hate this. I mean, everybody's like rocking out and all that, and I'm just thinking, this isn't what I want. I don't want this. Like, this is so opposite of what God wants for me. And it was a miserable experience for me because of what God was doing in my heart that whole time. And so I had to make a decision. Is this where I want my feet to take me? You know, here's what God's saying tonight. If you're okay with your feet taking you to these places, it's not like you're going to lose your salvation and all these awful things. Here's what God is saying. It's an indication of where your heart is. It's not the people you're hanging out with. It's not, well, I just tempted or is all this stuff. No, it's your heart. That's the condition of your heart. So it matters where we go. It matters where our feet takes us. But what we're talking about tonight is a heart check. And so I'm going to do it again. Are we ready? Here we go. We'll start here. Heart check.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Heart check.
Praise the Lord.
And last, heart check.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Maybe God's knocking on your heart tonight. He's saying, ooh, not doing good here. I'm doing pretty good here. I'm not doing good here. God says, this is where the issue is. I'm doing pretty good here. I'm doing pretty good here. I'm really trying. But I still struggle with this. You know? God's knocking on your heart. I told a story once about a young boy named David who was in the pediatric ward. You know, sometimes those doctors, they have, what are those things called that they can, is that a stethoscope? Okay, and I said it, yes. So sometimes they'll, for the sake of the child, they'll let the child put the stethoscope in their ears and then they'll put it on their heart so they can hear their own heart. And if you're a young child and you've heard this for the first time, that's kind of a novelty. It's sort of like, whoa, what is this? This is awesome. This is big. So a neat story about a little boy named David who for the first time had a stethoscope and put it on his own heart, and he heard that thumping, felt that and heard that thumping sound. And the doctor says, what do you think that is? He just, with a perplexed look on his face, was trying to figure out what that is. And then with a bright smile, he said, is that Jesus knocking on my heart? Ooh. Can I tell you tonight, it might be. It might be. Jesus is knocking on your heart. It might be. Jesus is knocking on your heart. I don't want to fall down. Might be that Jesus is knocking on your heart tonight. Like, well, no, I really want to. And that's okay. God wants you to too. So he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And everything that he said, whether it be your mouth, whether it be your eyes, or whether it be your feet, God says, you're going to have to make the change. Each one of those verses, let's look at it and we'll be done, okay? Verse 23, he says, keep. That's your responsibility. You're going to have to do that, church. Look at verse 24. Put away. That's what you have to do. You have to put this away from your mouth. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. And that means, just look at the ground. Just look at the sand. Just look at the ground. Let thine eyes look right on. And verse 26, ponder. Ponder. That's your job. You have to do these things. And God says, this is how you can know how your heart's doing. So that's a heart check tonight. That's a heart check tonight. Hopefully you can say, praise the Lord. And if you can't, let's get to the altar and get it right with God, get our hearts right with God. And then at the end, guess what we can say? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this great day and for being able to be in your house. And Lord, we consider the message, the condition of our heart. You gave us this tremendous heart check. And it might be that our mouth isn't where it should be. And it might be that our eyes aren't where they should be. And it might be for some, our feet aren't where they should be. And so there's a struggle there to be able to say, praise the Lord. God, would you help us to get our hearts where they need to be tonight? That you might help us to navigate these important matters of our life. And we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart tonight, the altar is open for you.